Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, a third team might have entered the Russell Westbrook sweepstakes.
You mean the sleepstakes?
I see what you did there. You'll see what we do there next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how you get your podcast or where you get your podcast. Always free, never behind a paywall. Excited to welcome back Andy Kamenetsky from his trip into the wilderness. Andy will be with me and hopefully you at the Doer's Store, 170 South La Brea on August 27th. That's a Saturday at 11 a.m. We're going to do a special taping of the show of Locked On Lakers from the Doer Store. You show up, you can be part of that show. You can ask us some questions live on the podcast. Should be some giveaways. I believe that's part of the plan and all that.
It's part of the plan. We've been confirmed it is part of the plan.
I probably should have checked that before even bringing it up. But
now it's confirmed.
There'll be some giveaways as well in the lead up to there, because not everybody, Andy, lives in Los Angeles. Not everybody can make it there. So details coming up later in the show on how you can win some of the most comfortable clothes that you can find anywhere on this or presumably any other planet. We're going to get into
spring more lately.
We're going to get into this this question of the Lakers and the expanded potential destinations for Russell Westbrook. It was quite the topic of conversation over the weekend on Lakers Twitter. But we do need to start here. Apparently, Andy, so you know, even while you were in the wilderness, you still heard the information that LeBron James was eligible for a contract extension from the Lakers starting on Thursday. He met LeBron and Rich Paul and Rob Pelinka and I don't know, maybe
Darvin Ham was there.
Yeah, Darvin. Maybe Kurt was there. Maybe Linda. Who knows? Maybe they brought the whole
gang. Let's not push it.
Maybe they brought the whole gang.
They want to get this thing done, Brian.
All reports are, Andy, that the initial conversations were positive. Mm-hmm. They were constructive. And the dialogue will continue.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
That was courtesy of our buddy Dave McMenamin over at ESPN. And what really stood out to me, because we talked about this before, Brian, how everybody has been looking at August 4th. In a lot of ways, it's been framed as not as the start date for these negotiations, but the drop dead date, where where if he has not signed this
grand
thing,
opening, grand closing,
right? Where if he has not signed this thing by August 4th, all of a sudden it's just Armageddon. Like, we've got serious problems on our hands because LeBron can't sign it anytime forward. It means that he's leaving. Like, no, he can sign this thing anytime between now and the end of the regular season. So it's really more about just when this thing gets put to bed, if it gets put to bed at all this season, as opposed to the Lakers being on a really tight clock of any sorts. What matters to me, though, I think to whatever degree this is concerning you at all, is that you keep hearing reports, because we know they're going to come out, that the talks are remaining productive and that everybody seems to be rowing in the same direction, even if they haven't reached a place of resolution.
I mean, let's to frame this even more, Andy, there's not that much to talk about in terms of the contract. It's like the Lakers come to LeBron and they say, what do you want? Like, presumably, do you want 2 years? We can give you 2 years. Do you want 1 year? Do you want one plus one? And maybe the Lakers have different considerations for each of those. Maybe the Lakers even run by the idea of, would you be willing to leave a little bit of money on the table so we can go into next summer or would have more?
We're against you doing that, LeBron, but if you'd like to.
Right. I mean,
we just want to make sure you know that we're open to it.
The answer is no if you don't ask. And so they should at least bring it up.
No, they should. LeBron, they should ask.
Tell him to GTFO, and he might. But they should at least find out. And, you know, the answer to that question might be, a little more. Okay, fine. But let's see what you do in the, you know, for the rest of the offseason, going into the season, all that stuff. So the good news, at least as part of this, is there's not that many options on the table where the Lakers have to like give and take and whatever. It's relatively cut and dry based on LeBron, what LeBron wants to do.
Sure. But I mean, what could be the thing that starts leading these talks from going from productive to less productive to stalled to whatever is any dissatisfaction or apprehensions or whatever that LeBron would have about, you know, there's only so long term he can commit to this organization anyway. There's only so long that he can get extended because of CBA rules and his age. But just whatever signs that come out that LeBron is having second thoughts about doing this, like just period, like that he just has reservations about.
Because to this point, the report's not even before is that he likes Los Angeles. It's not even that he, you know, is or isn't thrilled with the Lakers, but like his default seems to be my family, we're happy here. And it seems like it would take something to push him out the door. That's my early read of it.
Lest anybody forget, that was a driving force for him arriving here in the first place. I know he wanted to play some winning basketball. I know he wanted to win a championship. I believe those things were important to him. He won one while he was here. I think he'd like to win another one while he's here. But if we are all being honest with ourselves, LeBron came to the Lakers for a lot of driving reasons that quite frankly had nothing to do specifically with the Lakers. I wouldn't say they had nothing to do with
the Lakers whatsoever. Were kind of like a sweet perk that came along with like, I can do all that and I can play for the Lakers. Both things can be true at once.
The point being though, it didn't have nothing to do with the Lakers because he could have found his way onto the Clippers. He chose,
he could have. Who's doing that?
Exactly.
Unless you're Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, he does have certain standards. But again, what matters to me in however long this takes is just that you don't hear negative news, like negative leaks coming out where it seems like whatever, I don't even want to say delay there is in him signing this, but just whatever time passes that for whatever reason, and there could be multiple ones, you know, whatever leverage he thinks he could have in just trying to get one more deal done before the season starts to just leaving his options open as long as he can because he knows he doesn't have to commit, so why do it right now? The money is basically going to be the same no matter what the CBA.
And it's also, while for the rest of us, Andy, the idea of having a $97 million contract on the table is the sort of thing where it would be like, oh my, like you stop moving until you can just text your lawyer and have that thing sent over. Remember during the season, we got, or it might've been early in the off season, we got that news. LeBron is a billionaire. When you're a billionaire, you can sit on that for a minute or two. It's going to be okay.
Right. And also for cap reasons, in terms of cap flexibility, that like LeBron's cap hold, if he waited into the off season, like there are a lot of people who feel like, okay, LeBron waits on this thing. You know, they have his money off the books. They get just a bleep load of cap space. Then they sign LeBron with his bird rights. It's not how it works.
That is not like, how this works.
The amount of money that they would have additionally from LeBron doing it this way is not going to get them a third star regardless. So the cap effect of all of this isn't really something that Laker fans should be worrying about anyway. So to me, just as long as you're not hearing anything antagonistic between Team LeBron / Clutch and the Lakers, I'm okay with waiting. It does not worry me if, say, we get closer to training camp.
Right. And antagonistic, it should be no news is not the same as bad news. It's not leaking. Yep. You know, you get through October, November, December, January. You're still not hearing anything negative. It's not necessarily bad. And so he is in no hurry. The Lakers, I'm sure, would like to get this done. Some of what LeBron chooses to do could be based on what the Lakers are able to do this offseason. And to that point, Andy, a new wrinkle in the Russell Westbrook trade sweepstakes that
the sleepstakes
teams are tripping over themselves across the league to get involved in.
I feel like they're tripping over themselves to try to avoid it.
Run away. But that's next.
Starting a stampede. Stay away from it.
Okay, we mentioned at the top of the show, August 27th, 11 a.m. at the Doer Store, 170 South La Brea in Los Angeles. That's the Mid-Wilshire area. You come up. We're going to do a great live show inside the Doer Store. And the coolest thing, other than the giveaways and other than all that, is you get to feel and touch and experience the clothes that they have in this place. And they are some of the most comfortable clothes you are ever going to find anywhere. They are incredibly versatile, which you can see and feel if you're in the store. Business meetings, you're out with your friends, you're running around with your kids. But whatever your lifestyle is, this is lifestyle clothing, performance clothing that kind of crosses into where you are. Staple items, you can wear them with anything, you can, you know, wear them to anything, throw color in there. You're going to wear this stuff all the time, and that's what I really like about it. I got the, you know, two or three pairs of pants, pair of jeans, a couple of their shirts, and so
I wore, Brian, my Doer joggers and my Doer shorts for basically the entire camping trip that I was on. It was 4 days in Big Sur and nothing but Doer. And let me tell you something, I find camping uncomfortable, but my seat area was nice.
Your gusset looked good. Mm-hmm. All right. So whether you go eat, but if you can't go into the store, and not everybody lives in Los Angeles, shopdoer.com is the website. And however you buy the Doer clothes, you use our discount code LOCKEDON15. You get 15% off. That's in person. That's at shopdoer.com. And again, August 27th, 11 a.m., special mailbag episode of Locked On Lakers in the Doer store. Come be a part of that. At the very least, though, go to shopdoer.com and experience the clothes. Again, Locked On 15, shopdoer.com.
And Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar Puffs, they are sweeping the nation. And as always, there are new flavors. And the newest one, you ready? Sit down. Be just, you don't want to faint. Cookie dough chunk puffs. They've got a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and is always covered in 100% real chocolate. It's all the joy of eating cookie dough without the actual hassle of making it. There's no cleanup. There's no kids all over you trying to get, you know, the lick the spoon.
I
want to
lick the spoon.
Stuff.
I want to shut up.
Exactly. Plus, it's healthy for you and your family time. Cookie dough chunk puffs are, they're only 160 calories, but they've got 15 grams of protein in them. And they're made with the collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. It's got health benefits. You can order a box for yourself or your family. It's the perfect treat. Or just, you know, eat them by yourself in a corner because your family, they're a pain in the ass. You don't need them. Ditch the calories, the fat, the sugar, sha-la-la-la, and grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at Built.com.
Okay, so before we get to this trade scenario, it's with the Utah Jazz. People may have seen this by now. A quick note, we mentioned a couple times this appearance at the Doer Store on August 27th at 11 a.m. We are also going to have some giveaways leading up to that, and how we do it is mailbag style. So if you leave a question on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page with the with the hashtag Doer Show, D-U-E-R-S-H-O-W, Doer Show, you become eligible to
Or tweet us at Cam Brothers with hashtag Doer Show.
However you do it, you become eligible. As long as your question is good enough, we are the arbiters of, can we use this question on the show? If we can, you get entered into a pot. We will pull a username out. If we pull your username out, you win the prize that we're giving away. We'll contact you and all that. We'll figure all that out later. But that's how you do it. Doer Show, hashtag Doer Show, D-U-E-R-S-H-O-W. That gets you into the contest as long as your question is good, because we have to do a show, Andy. We can't just take any old random crappy question.
Can be questions about the current Lakers. These could be questions about past Lakers. Brian and I have been covering the team for like 15 years. So
whatever it is, it is up to you. However you feel like you can cross
NBA,
the threshold.
Movies, whatever.
If you can cross the threshold, you can get in. Now, maybe that's by being clever, by asking a question that's off the beaten path. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I can't lead you, listener, to the pants. You have to find your way to the pants. Mm-hmm. But I feel that you can. Again, hashtag doer show is the hashtag you need to use at Cam Brothers on Twitter or on the Locked On Lakers show page. Okay. We've talked about the Indiana deal. We've talked about the Kyrie Irving Brooklyn Nets deal. And now there, Andy, is apparently a third potential deal. Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype reporting late last week, the Lakers had at least discussed the possibility of getting involved in this whole Utah, New York, Donovan Mitchell thing, either afterwards or literally during, to where the Lakers would send out Russell Westbrook and presumably a first round pick and receive one of the following, or two of the following, I should say, Patrick Beverley, Jordan Clarkson, former Laker, Bogdan Bogdanovich, or is it Boyan? They get Boyan Bogdanovich in this one, and Malik Beasley. So two of those four, according to Michael Scotto, in exchange for Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick. Andy Kamenetsky, your thoughts?
First of all,
you emerged from the wilderness and found this news. What did you think?
That it's Boyan, not Bogdan.
Right, that's what I said. Was I right the first time or the second time?
I don't know. You flipped a few times, but just to make sure it's clear, it's Boyan, not
Boyan,
Bogdan.
Not the one on Atlanta, the one on Utah.
Right.
They are not related.
No.
It's apparently a very common last name.
Yeah, it's the equivalent over there of being named like Boyan Smith or Boyan Jones. There's a lot of them over there.
Boyan Jones.
What my immediate thought with this was, in terms of the different teams and players the Lakers have been linked to, the floor is, or I don't know, the floor, I guess maybe the floor and the ceiling is actually the lowest in this. Like, you know, the Kyrie incarnation, maybe with Joe Harris, maybe with Seth Curry, as you and I have thrown up, maybe with both of them.
All of them. However many human beings you can get off that roster, take all of them.
Right. That one obviously has the highest ceiling. Mm-hmm. You could argue that the incarnation with Buddy Hield and Miles Turner doesn't have the same explosive star-driven potential as one with Kyrie, you know, especially just in terms of tough shot making, the offensive explosion, all that stuff. But it's maybe the highest floor in terms of importing shooting and also the defense. With Miles
I will
Turner.
Say, to push back on that, I'm not even necessarily sure where I come down on this yet. But there are people, you know, our friend Krandis McBasketball, for example, Lakers Exceptionalism Pod, who prefer that deal, who think that deal is actually better than a Kyrie deal because of what you're talking about, Miles Turner's ability to play defense next to Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and in theory, you could extend Miles Turner and make him, you know, he's only 26 years old. You could make him a long-term part of what you do with LeBron and with Anthony Davis, you know, that is a 4-5 combo that should work on both sides of the ball.
So there are people who think that one's better. Most people probably think the Kyrie thing is better, but it's at least open for debate.
What I think is potentially interesting about the incarnation, and this is something actually a few weeks ago, maybe even longer. Remember, I had brought this up as a potential concept, like the Lakers becoming Jazz West.
Right. They just take all of the stuff that Utah wouldn't want anymore after a Mitchell deal.
Right. And just looking to help them shed salary because they've got like a guy like Mike Conley, who's owed 40 something million over the next 2 years. He clearly would make no sense on a team that's traded Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. There's a couple of years left on Jordan Clarkson's deal. Maybe they don't want to pay Boyan Bogdanovich. I don't think there are many of the guys that they took in Minnesota that they would automatically want to flip again, but you never know.
No, like, I mean, the guy, like, if you're like, you ask for Jared Vanderbilt, right? But like, Utah wants Vanderbilt so they can grow around with him.
Right.
He's a good young player. Beasley, and potentially too. Beasley's only 25.
Yeah. He's 25, 26.
He'll be 20, but, I think 26 in November.
But what I think is potentially interesting about this deal with Utah is in helping A, facilitate it, but B, also give Utah that financial help. you could, depending on how much stuff you could finagle taking on from Utah, and maybe that involves, you know, trading out Talen Horton Tucker or something like that, if you want to expand it even further. But I think it's the trade that possibly allows you to keep the most of your stuff, because even if you're sending them Russell Westbrook, you are actually taking on more money than they would have,
depending on who you take back.
Right. If you were willing to take back, say, Conley and Clarkson, and then maybe, again, see if there's a possibility of adding Beverly into that or Bogdanovich or whatever, you are possibly, you know, adding some redundancy to a roster that's already guard heavy. You could also argue, though, that some of the guards they're getting back are better than the guards that you have. Somebody's obviously got to take Russell Westbrook's place as a starting point guard on this team. You know, I had put up just screwing around with the trade machine. I came up with one incarnation where the Jazz receive Russell Westbrook, Obi Toppin, Quickly, Quentin Grimes, and Wenyen Gabriel. The Lakers take Mike Conley, Patrick Beverley, and Derrick Rose, who I think actually would have to move to make this work with the cap for the Knicks. And Rose has 2 years left on his deal. Maybe Utah doesn't want him. The Lakers take on Derrick Rose, which again adds more redundancy, but takes away financial responsibilities from Utah. I would, if I were looking to do this deal or any incarnation of it, I would be looking to keep my first rounders and be telling Utah, look, we are doing you a financial favor. Russell Westbrook, when we take on these contracts from you, doesn't actually represent a bad contract. You're just buying him out anyway, and you're done with this. We're the ones actually taking on the money. You're getting a ton of draft picks for Donovan Mitchell anyway. So
I gotta tell you though, the problem is the math doesn't necessarily work there. Beasley has a non-guaranteed option for 23-24. Conley does get paid. Clarkson gets paid. You know, it's about $38 million. They're not getting out of from under Russ for much less than $38 million. So, you know, to buy out Westbrook.
But you're taking on their future responsibilities as well.
But my point is the future responsibility isn't that deep. You know, you have Clarkson, even if Clarkson picks up his $14 million option for 23-24 and Conley is a partial guarantee for $24 million, you know, after next season as well, that comes out to, there's not that much savings there from my breakdown. You know, you have Bogdanovich if you want to keep him.
Well,
I guess
I'll say this, it's
whatever,
certainly,
but Bogdanovich is free agent after next year.
It's certainly no, though, at nothing else, it is not worth two first round picks.
No, but that's the thing. And that what you're getting, let me, I think that's the question here. And so let's take the break and then I'll explain to you why I hate this trade. I detest it compared to the other options. So we'll do that next. Yes, Andy, I said detest. That's how much. If the price of doing business to get rid of Westbrook is a first round pick, if you could keep the pick and what you're talking about, everybody's like, it's like, you know what, let's just get all this stuff away. We can figure it. If that were possible to keep the pick and absorb players without give, okay, I'm fine with that. If it costs THT, whatever, I'm fine with that too. You know, just to at least to some degree. The problem I feel like is if you give up the pick and you don't get that much better, because while yes, adding Bogdanovich and Beverly. Jordan Clarkson or Clarkson and Patrick Beverley, Bev's a good player. Like these are, but you know, Bogdanovich is a terrible defender. Malik Beasley's not a very good defender. Jordan Clarkson is not a very good defender. Pat Bev is. Or at least is, you know, tenacious in that regard, and on this team would be there. But also, you mentioned some of the redundancy that he would bring in terms of they're already kind of guard heavy. The opportunity cost for what you've got left to try to make anything else happen isn't going to get anything done. And so I feel like you have one swing, and if you make a trade that requires you to give up either of the picks, you're better off giving up both of the picks for a trade that actually gets you where you're going. In this case, you've gotten marginally better. Those players are better than some, adding those players are better. But like Westbrook isn't terrible. So like you do have to factor in the idea that, you know, giving up Russ is subtraction in some way, especially if on Earth, you know, like the fantasy I have for Earth 14, Darvin Ham can get him to do at least a little bit more in terms of playing ball than last year. I don't think this lifts you enough, and it leaves you with less to try to fix it more. So I think this is a terrible deal for the Lakers if they have to give up a pick, because it doesn't help them that much. They're not even close to a title contender. I'm not even sure they're that much of a title contender if they got all four of these players. And it leaves them without the resources to try to make a deal that gets them closer. And both the Indiana deal and especially the, you know, Indiana deal and the Brooklyn deal, if those things can come true, are light years better with this one in terms of the return that you get.
I agree with you. The biggest upside in my mind of this scenario is just simply the idea of maybe you can get Westbrook off the roster and incentivize it in a way where, or maybe you don't have to give up the first, but you can give up a couple of seconds, like something like that, because you're taking on some of their relatively longer term financials. In terms of the talent upside of this deal, it's not good at all. You know, it's something that you would look to do maybe after getting Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, or after getting, say, just Kyrie, and you're looking to supplement it a little bit. That could be something you would look to do, and maybe trade Talen Horton Tucker and or Kendrick Nunn, like something like that, where you're just looking to get one of the guys off Utah's roster. It's like the back pocket to your back pocket in terms of deal.
But see, like, we'll quit on this. Are you better off making... There are people, I had this discussion with Anthony Irwin, former host of the show, Silver Screen and Roll, the Anthony Irwin Show, and I think everybody knows who Anthony is. There are people, and I think Anthony is one of them, who just believe that fundamentally that getting rid of Westbrook is an addition, you know, is that they cannot possibly win with Westbrook on the roster this year. I think broadly that is true, because I just don't think the roster is good enough. That it is the upside to moving him and the potential, at least you have a shot because Westbrook's not there. That's the part of the argument that I don't agree with. And so if you make the move and it doesn't really raise your title chances, you've squandered the opportunity. It would suck to go into the season with Westbrook and the mood's going to be terrible and everybody's just going to be waiting around for the bad stuff to happen. But you're actually not better. But if you make, like, as we've said, kind of a weak sauce trade, to look like you're doing something. You've maybe improved the mood. You haven't improved the team, and you can only trade the assets once.
I
don't think you're better off doing the back pocket deal if the back pocket deal isn't actually going to improve you.
Or especially if you have to actually give up stuff in order to make
it. You have to give up a pick. This is not good enough.
Right. It's really important to remember that cosplaying contender, or cosplaying going for it, or cosplaying we're not going to waste LeBron, doesn't mean that you're actually contending, doesn't mean you're actually going for it, doesn't mean you're actually not going to waste LeBron. Like all of that stuff is just cosmetic. And it's either to sell fans, sell LeBron, sell yourself on, you know, yourselves inside the front office on this concept of, you know, we are always going to be competitive. We are always going to put ourselves as close to contention as we can be, which is a great goal. Except if you're not actually close, it doesn't really matter. And if they can't win, if they really cannot put themselves for whatever reason in a realistic chance to win a championship, the worst thing that can come from that is to actually not be able to find a way to do it the following year.
And if you do it, and I can't imagine they would, but you do it before a Kyrie, before the possibility of a Kyrie deal, before, you know, fully investing in an Indiana deal, you know, the opportunity cost to making a trade like this is, the downside is tremendous, because now you've removed yourself from future opportunities, whether it's Kyrie or whatever pops up in December for reasons that we don't know about. You're better off waiting. You're better off waiting, sucking it up, trying to make it work with Russ and dealing. Cause either way, you add these three guys to the team, they are better. If you add these three guys and remove Russ, add all four of them and remove Russ, they're better they're still not one of the best teams in the West. These are not players who are good enough to transform your team that way. Yeah. I don't think.
Well, no.
And I think you add them to the rotation, they would get better. That's not my point.
No, but I agree with you, and this is important. Improving the mood matters, but it only matters for so long.
Correct.
Like, and
it's a great way of putting it.
It can be kind of like a sugar rush thing where you're going to feel incredible, but there's going to be a come down, and that come down is going to be when you're actually on the court. So
adding all four of them would be pretty good. But like, if you're really not, that's not what we're talking about here. But the report is they could add two, and there is no two player combination in that group that gets the Lakers even close to where they need to go. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to find the show and look at us while we do it. We got some fun stuff that we often do during the show. Again, reminder, Doer at the Doer store, shopdoer.com. Locked On 15 is the podcast, is the code to get the discount. But more importantly, if you show up on August 27th, that's Saturday at 11 a.m., you can be part of a live taping of Locked On Lakers. You ask a question, you got an opportunity for some giveaways at the store and all that. And Doer Show, hashtag Doer Show, is how you get yourself involved in the giveaways that will be going on before, Andy, the big event on August 27th. You send us questions with that hashtag Doer Show and to at Cam Brothers, our Twitter feed, or to the Locked On Lakers show page. And if we think they're good enough to use on a show, can be about anything, just has to be good enough to use on a show, we'll enter you and your username into the giveaway contest. We'll pull a name out and you could win. All right, we'll see everybody Tuesday.